now we come to John chapter 21. Verse 1. This is the last chapter of John, as we know. And as we come to this last chapter, of course, there are very precious lessons for us to learn. And we're going to learn some of those sweet, wonderful lessons today. We've looked at verse 1 through 14 in our Bible reading this morning about how Jesus is on the shore of Galilee. Remember, he had told his disciples, after I am risen from the dead, go to Galilee. I will meet you there. That's where they had been fishermen. That's where they had been in their occupation when Jesus called them from their fishing boats and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And this is a very familiar place to them. Most of Jesus' sermons were preached here. Most of Jesus' mighty miracles were done in the area of Galilee. And so this place had a lot of precious memories. And here Jesus is going to meet with his disciples again. And Peter, he said, I'm going fishing. You know, I've heard preachers say, oh, that was bad of Peter. You know, Peter, when he says this, he says, I'm going back to the business of fishing. Jesus doesn't discipline Peter or correct him or spank him because he went fishing. These men were busy. They weren't lazy men. They did what they really knew how to do and do well. They had made their livings at this. They provided for their families at this job. But here they are. They toil all night. No fish. Just weary. Midnight shift on the lake, a Sea of Galilee, and nothing to show for it. So, as we come to our passage, we find here the disciples have left Jerusalem. They've gone to Galilee as Jesus commanded them. And as they are waiting for Jesus to come meet with them as he promised, they were not slothful. They didn't lay around just waiting till Jesus appeared. They decided to go to work. They had earned their livings at this. They were good at it. It is no wonder that Jesus sent them to the peaceful shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was here that Jesus had called them, where they had heard him preach, and where he called them from their fishing nets. It was on these shores, as we said, he preached most of his sermons. He taught the greatest life-transforming truths here. He worked most of his many mighty miracles in this area. So Jesus brought them back to where it all began, where their warmest memories of the last 3.5 years had taken place. And so the key to unlock our passage this morning is verse 1 and verse 14, where it says, Jesus revealed more of himself to his disciples. It's in the word showed. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. And then again, we see here in verse 14, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word showed here means to become more fully known or plainly recognized, to be more fully understood. These verses are here to show us, as we sang about this morning, isn't it uncanny that our first song was more about Jesus? More about Jesus, more would I know. And this is what the passage is about. In this passage, then, what does Jesus show us about himself? He's more fully revealed. He reveals himself more fully as the absolute sovereign Lord God of the universe. He shows himself more fully as the absolute sovereign Lord and God of the universe. Jesus designed this miracle to strike a deep chord in the disciples' hearts. He was reminding them that he was in charge of the winds and the waves and the seas, the elements, and every living creature in the universe. It's his universe. They had seen him do this before by the power of God. Remember, he had filled their nets and the nets broke when Peter was being called to be his disciple, to be his follower. And Jesus said, what have you caught? Nothing. I've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Peter let down one net. immediately the fish began to swim into it, and the net broke. Jesus said, the nets, Peter said, toiled all night, taking nothing. Who's this guy to tell me how to fish? So he casts on the other side of the boat one net, and it's immediately filled up and breaks. Now, the net is immediately filled up and doesn't break. And not only that, there's 153 big fish. The Bible says they were big. And so the families are going to be able to take care of themselves once the disciples start preaching. By Jesus' wonderful providing for them is being seen here, that he can take care of his own. And so he's in charge. He sends the fish. He gives success. He gives us the blessing. They had seen him do this, but now they see that he himself is God, the absolute sovereign monarch and emperor over his universe. He can do this anytime he wants to, they're thinking. Everything is at his command. All power is his in heaven and earth. There's nothing that God cannot do. And Jesus is Lord, and he's God. He's in charge of everything. Part of the miracle was not only the fish, but that the net didn't break. Remember that. They saw that apart from Jesus, they could do absolutely nothing. Not even things that they were really, really, really good at. Unless he blessed them, all was in vain. All was futile. And so we need to realize that Jesus is Lord over our lives. Every beat of our heart, every breath that we take. And apart from him, everything we do, everything we plan, everything that we dream is empty labor. It's fruitless toil. Unless he blesses us, it means nothing. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You can make your to-do list for tomorrow, and maybe you'll get 1, 2, 3 things on that to-do list done. The rest of it's going to be filled up what God wants in your life. You know, man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, the Bible says. And notice that the miracle of Christ had its intended effect. The disciples reacted by confessing, "It is the Lord! Who else could it be? It's the Lord our God." It says that they didn't even ask him about it, whether it was him or not, because they knew he was the Lord. They simply worshipped him and communed with him. As you see that, here in verse 21, in verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And so only the Lord could do this. And of course, Jesus, being scarred beyond measure, now risen from the dead in a glorified body, yet the same body in which he died, they don't recognize him. The beard's not there. The hair's not there. His scars have disfigured his face. You know, there is a man-made thing in heaven, right? One man-made thing. That's all. And that's the scars on our precious Savior. It's the scars. When we see Christ, we'll see the print of the nails. We'll see the scar on his side. We'll see the print of the nails in his feet. Remember John, when we come to it in Revelation, he's told, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed to open the 7 sealed scroll." And then John turns to see the lion, and what does he see? He said he saw a lamb as though it had been slain with 7 eyes and 7 horns. He saw a lamb, not a lion. A lamb is thought to have been slain. And so Christ is, we'll be able to see his love for us and his scars for us. They simply worshipped him. They communed with him. They knew he was the Lord. Secondly, Jesus was more fully revealed in his servant's heart. He reveals himself as a sovereign, absolute Lord, creator, monarch, ruler over everything. And then he reveals his servant's heart. That is well-pleasing in God's sight. If we humble ourselves, then God, in his grace, will exalt us. If he who would be chief of all, Jesus said, must be servant to all. If you want to be exalted, you humble yourself and become a servant to others. It's amazing how, you know, even our power companies and our inventions have come to us by the desire of someone to meet a need. Our telephones by Alexander Graham Bell, who wanted his mother to hear him, say, "I love you, Mom." And so he started the stuff about the hearing and everything. The thing that the little horn that would go in there, and he wanted to improve on that and to get people to his mom to be able to hear him say, "I love you, Mom." Thomas Edison, I don't know if you ever saw the old movie with Mickey Rooney where somebody in his family, who was it? Was it his son or his brother or his mom? They had an appendix attack, the appendix burst, and it was at nighttime. And so they lit all the candles they could and put the mirrors around to try to do the surgery, to try to get the infected appendix out. And what happened is this great desire in Thomas Edison to invent the incandescent light bulb so that people could be helped at night, so they wouldn't be in darkness at night. So that, and by the way, that just the invention of the incandescent light has stopped more crime than anything else in the world. Just like Jesus said, the evildoers don't like the light. They don't like to be seen. They like their works to be hidden in darkness. And so what a great invention that was. And today we still have Edison, electrical power, and we used to be, what was it here? Southern Bell used to be our telephone company. Was it Southern Bell?
Ma Bell.
Ma Bell?
What they
call it? Then there used to be Mountain Bell.
No, there was Pacific.
Might have been Pacific Bell.
Well, I guess they just said
but yeah, just the point is that many people, without ever realizing it, just wanting to meet the needs of others, seeing a need and trying a way there, you know, 99% perspiration, 1% inspiration, trying to meet a need, have become exalted by God because they sought to be a servant to many. Jesus was more fully revealed in his servant's heart. Didn't you see that here? When the disciples came to the shore, they found a nice fire there already to warm them. They found that the bread and fish were already prepared and ready to serve. The 153 other fish they didn't really even need. Jesus told them to bring them, but there was already bread and fish on the fire, already prepared, ready to serve. And after they sat down to breakfast, Jesus personally handed them their meals. He served them. They saw that Jesus loved to meet the needs of his people. And he loves to bless his people. He loves to be a servant and help his people. They saw Jesus' willingness and gladness to be a servant and his example for them, for one another. Jesus is God. He's the creator of the universe. And yet he came to minister, to serve, to redeem, to give his life a ransom for many, to pour out his life, his blood, his soul for us. He came to save us, to bless us, to heal us, to help us, to love us, to provide for us, to shepherd us. Every time Jesus meets one of our physical needs, it ought to warmly assure us that he has already taken care of our greatest need, the salvation of our soul, the rescue of our soul from the devil's hell forever and ever. The greatest need that we have, he's already met. So all these other blessings are just tokens that he's taking care of our greatest need. We can never be truly joyful like the Lord Jesus unless we share his servant's heart. God is always serving, even as he is worshipped, or all would be lost. God is always serving. God is always at work. God is always blessing. David said, you know, how great are your thoughts to me? They are more than the sands of the sea. When I count them, it is so precious. You know, God's thoughts to us, his watching over us, his caring for us is amazing. Thirdly, Jesus not only revealed himself more as the absolute sovereign Lord God of the universe, he also revealed that he has a great servant's heart. He loves to bless his people. He loves to give to his people. He loves to provide for his people. And he is always serving us. He's always making intercession for us. He's always watching over us. Jesus was also more fully revealed as the great provider. The size and number of the fish are recorded for us to see that Jesus is the one who exceedingly abundantly is able to do above all we can ask or imagine. The net was full of large fish, and yet the net was unbroken. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I like Luke 1:37 where it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Amen. He's able. He's a great provider. It comes with his blessing. They already had fish to eat. These 153 big fish, I mean, just one of those fish would have been more than a disciple could eat in 2 days. And how he provides super abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. They saw that Jesus not only gives life, but he gives it more abundantly. That following his word gives an overflowing peace. Our cups run over. There's a fullness of joy. There's meaning to life. There's love and grace that has no limits. That has no measure. His power has no boundaries. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. This is the year 2019. If you wanted to have a good verse for this year, you could just choose the 19th verse of Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is there anything in all of creation that Jesus does not provide for? Anything in all of creation that Jesus does not provide for? Or that he does not sustain? Or that he does not maintain? He is more than able to meet your needs in ways we cannot even imagine. You know, I can remember shortly after Connie and I were married in Glendale, Arizona, we were living in Phoenix, how that even though I was helping to repair apartments and paint apartments and doing all this, besides being an assistant pastor, we were barely squeaking by. And I would pray, "Oh God, I don't know how we're going to pay the rent. God, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills." And really, I lie to you not, I would go to the mailbox at our apartment thing, open the mailbox, and twice I received, this was from back in Indiana, close to Chicago, where I went to school. And there would be a thing, "This is something or other for your taxes or something, a miscalculation or something." And it would be to the penny. To the very penny of what I needed to pay the bills. I would go to the church and, help lead the singing, I was mainly the youth director. And so I would teach the kids and so on like that. And so then I would come out to my car. We would sometimes go over her mom and dad's house because we didn't have enough food in the refrigerator. So we'd plan on going over there around dinner time so we could get something to eat. How many of you have been through days like that, times like that? So then we would go out to the car. And the next thing I know, she said, "What's that?" And I look in the back seat of my old 71 Rally Nova. And there would be grocery bag after grocery bag, milk, bread, bologna, cheese, all that good stuff. Macaroni and cheese, all that good stuff. And my gas tank would be filled. See how good God is?
Mm-hmm.
He's able to provide exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It doesn't say, "But my God shall supply all your wishes and wants." It doesn't say that. Says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And so he's more than able to meet your needs. He's exceeding abundantly able to do above all we ask or think. You remember when the Bible says God parted the Red Sea for Israel to walk through? Notice that it said they walked through on dry ground. He not only parted the sea, he didn't let them get their feet wrinkled in the wetness. They didn't come out on the other side with all these wrinkly toes and stuff. But God not only opened the sea, he made the ground dry. He does more than we could ask or think. You know, it reminds me of that prayer promise. Some people call it God's telephone number. You remember what God's telephone number is? Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Call unto me, and I will answer you. God's line is never busy. He always answers. Sometimes he says, not yet. Sometimes he says, you're not ready. Sometimes he says, wait a while. But he always hears the prayer of his children. Then lastly, we see that the Lord revealed himself more fully as the very best friend. The very best friend any man or woman could have, any boy or girl could have. He's our very best friend. We see him reveal. He shows himself as the absolute sovereign Lord. We see that he shows himself as the wonderful servant. He shows himself as the great provider of all our needs that do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Then lastly, we see here he shows himself as the very best friend we could have. You see, among the Jews, and it's still that way in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, those places in the Middle East, when you have a meal with somebody, you're invited to their house, it's much more than just having dinner. It is them breaking bread is like a covenant of salt. It's them like saying, it's like them saying, I am your best friend forever. You are my best friend forever. You have been invited to my home. You eat my food. You are like family to me. No matter what happens, I will always be your friend. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you go, I will always be your friend. That's what the meal is about. It was an act of deep, abiding friendship. It was a covenant, a point of fellowship with God. It intimated a friendship that would last forever. That is why it is even more wicked that Judas would betray Jesus after having dinner with him, the Last Supper. It was more wicked for him to do that after they had eaten together. When Jesus is invited into our hearts, it is like into eating a meal with him. The Bible says that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. My flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. When he is invited into our hearts, it's likened unto a feast or having a meal together where he becomes our best friend forever and ever. As we see in the book of Revelation, we're going to see in Revelation in one of the lessons to the churches at Laodicea, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That means the covenant of this meal, this covenant of friendship, that no matter where we go, what we do, what we say, Jesus says, we're still best friends. You're still my friend. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, are the next words out of his mouth. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16 says, his mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. My friend. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. The Lord reveals himself as our very best friend. See, in that culture, when you were invited to come and dine, you were being let in to be the very best friend of that family. And so, Jesus is the very best friend we have. The Bible says, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. As we close, see more fully that Jesus is sovereign Lord, creator and God over all. If he doesn't bless our work, no matter how good we know it, no matter how hard we try, it won't be blessed. How many of you have been good at something and then you go to do it one day and you just can't seem to find it to make it work? You just can't To me, I had changed freeze plugs and motors before. And you really have to take stuff off and get to a freeze plug. And then you got to pull it out. And then you're going to have to put in another one, to get it up in there and everything like that. And I had changed 3 freeze plugs in one day. And I was going after the 4th one. And I couldn't get this bolt off. I couldn't get it to save my life. And I was pushing so hard, I was afraid the car was going to come off its jacks and land on me. And no matter how hard I tried, it wouldn't. And that's the way it is when we don't have Christ's blessings with us. That, sometimes we call it Murphy's Law or something else like that. But what it is God saying, you need to look to me more. You need to ask me into the everyday things of your life. You need to be walking and talking with me as you do everything. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. So see that... Since he's sovereign Lord over all, surrender all you are to him. Yield to his lordship over you. Ask for his blessing so that your life be not fruitless and empty. When you go shopping, it can be full of meaning walking with the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to find a good deal on some good stuff. Every time I do, the Lord blesses me. Have you, it sounds trite and simple, but And some preachers would look down and say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't talk like that. But there have been times where I couldn't find my keys or I couldn't find something like my phone. And I'm looking everywhere, wondering where it is. And then I stop and I say, dear sweet Holy Spirit, I don't know where it is I put that thing. I don't know where it is I left it. Would you please help me find it? And so many times, that's happened with you too, hasn't it? So many times within the next 30 seconds, get it. You find it. He says something or brings something to your memory like he whispers to your heart. And behold, there it is. One time I was looking for my keys and I already had them in my hand. I remember this one guy saying, he's like this. He says, okay, Jesus, where'd you hide my glasses? I know you hid them. Lord, I appreciate and I love you, but I don't like when you play games with my glasses. And he had them on his head the whole time. So, but God is good to direct us and to help us and bless us. Ask Jesus to give you more of a servant's heart like him. The servant is greatest of all. There is no joy like being a blessing to others. People get caught up in their troubles and their trials and their circumstances, and they start to get distressed and they start to get discouraged and they start to get bummed out. And one of the best ways to bring somebody out of that or to bring yourself out of it is to bake some cookies and take them to somebody who likes cookies or needs cookies. Not to bake the cookies for yourself. Although that's nice, you can keep a couple of them if you want. They're your cookies, right? But take them to somebody. Take them across the street to a neighbor. That being a servant, being a blessing, is the best way to get blessed yourself. And lastly, trust more fully in Christ as your great provider. Take more advantage of his friendship. Give him your secrets. He's your best friend, and he won't tell on you. Give him your fears. Give him your burdens. Give him your worries. Give him your feelings. He will provide for you in his friendship towards you. Remember the story of a little girl. She liked to sing gospel hymns. And she had to have a surgery that required her to stay awake without anesthesia. And so as she's getting ready to go through the surgery, they said, honey, if you want to cry, you can cry all you want to. If you want to scream, you can scream all you want to. She said, I think I'd rather sing. And I remember hearing that story. And the last time I was really sick with that flu that feels like a deep, sharp, burning knife twisting around in your tummy, I thought I was going to die. And God gave me grace to die, so I really thought I was going to go. And I said, Lord, I'd rather you just take me home now than to let me go through this. I remembered the story of that little girl. And instead of moaning and screaming and crying, I started singing. Now, it sounded like a wounded moose in the wilderness doing a mating call or crying out in distress, but I was singing. You know, that I think that pleases the Lord. Mm-hmm. That when we come to our trials, we come to our hard times. We said in that song, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way." It said, "Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight." And so let's take advantage of what pleases God. The just shall live by faith. And the faith for all I trust him, it sees in the dark. God honors faith because faith honors God. God blesses faith because faith says he is big enough, he's loving enough, he's wise enough, he's good enough to take care of whatever distress you face. Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that you are our very best friend, that we can tell you anything and everything, you know it already. We can trust our lives in your hands. Lord, each of us have had someone we thought was a friend in our life, only to find that person was like Judas. But you are the friend who sticks closer than a brother. You made a covenant with us. You brought us to your banqueting table, and your banner over us is love. We pray you bless the lesson to our hearts now. Help us to see your great love, your great power, your great servant's heart, your ability to make something out of nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We are going to receive our offering.